Mom's Favorite Fantasy Football Podcast with your mom's favorite host, Bobby Sylvester. On today's show, we're going to be talking sleepers and breakouts with Hutchison Brown of footballguys.com and his podcast, Coming in Clutch. Give Hutchison a follow on X at HutchinsonB_FF, and I'm at your mom's FF pod. If you haven't already, make sure to hit the subscribe button and drop a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Let's talk some football. Hey, it's Bobby Sylvester. Welcome on into your mom's favorite fantasy football podcast. Before we dive into sleepers and breakouts, we have some news to touch on from the weekend, and we're joined by Hutchison Brown of footballguys.com and his podcast Coming in Clutch. Hutchison, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Yo, Bobby, thank you so much for having me on, man. Really excited to dive in. We just got breaking news about some Colts starting quarterback situation right before we recorded. So we got a lot of breaking news here. It's going to be fun to discuss this as well as our sleepers and breakouts.
There's a lot that happened this weekend. And as you know, with the preseason, anytime there's a lot that happens, some of it's noise, some of it's real. And we're going to discern kind of what to really expect moving forward. But we do know that Daniel Jones is going to be the starter for the Colts. Now, I know there's some folks who are cringing. They got Anthony Richardson in the later rounds of their underdog drafts. I'm actually really excited about this because I have a lot of shares of Michael Pittman and Josh Downs. I think their stock goes up. How much higher are you willing to take these guys now that they've got a passing quarterback?
Yeah, this is interesting. I mean, Daniel Jones, when you look at, it's just rough. Man, you look at Daniel Jones' career as a passer, it's not ideal. Obviously, he never had the elite weapons most of his career. Looking at the passing game now for the Colts, I mean, Josh Downs is hurt. It's really hard to want to draft him right now. Michael Pittman had a rough year last year, but if he's healthy with that back injury that he had last year, he could be very solid for fantasy football. He's a great absorber of volume. And then Tyler Warren, he flashed in preseason a lot. He's been on the field with the starting team a lot. And when you look at his abilities as a receiver after the catch and his ability as a screen pass player or just in the running game as well, even in the passing game, like the dude is just a monstrous weapon. And he's being drafted currently like 10 to 12. No matter who the starting quarterback was, I was going to be pretty bullish on him. I have him ranked relatively highly compared to that consensus rank. So I'm really in on Tyler Warren. I think that's going to be a fun one. And then when you look at Jonathan Taylor, like you mentioned, now that he has a quarterback that's a little bit more willing to dump off, a little bit more willing to throw to the running back position compared to Anthony Richardson, you obviously got to give him a little bit of a bump up. He's someone that's not being talked about in fantasy football at all. Honestly, he's kind of one of those studs that's just going right under the rug because it's just he's been in the league a few years. He's had a couple good years, had a couple bad years. It feels like fatigue a little bit with Jonathan Taylor. So if he's falling in the second round, I'm happy to take him. And that's right now, that's where he's going, like late second.
I don't mind him whatsoever. It's just the range that he's in. You know, we've got Bucky Irving and Chase Brown, even Josh Jacobs, and all that touchdown upside on their offense. I'd love to get Jonathan Taylor. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think I'm quite taking him over those guys. But here's the thing about this Colts offense. So first of all, I said now that he has a passing quarterback, and we're talking about Daniel Jones.
Yeah,
but
it really
is an upgrade over Anthony Richardson. So that's what I mean. But this is what I want to say, okay? If we're drafting an underdog, and I get it, there's a lot of people listening from Dynasty Leagues, Superflex Leagues, Redraft Leagues, a lot of folks who are going to be doing a lot of DFS over on FanDuel and DraftKings. If you're drafting an underdog, we're drafting big, deep teams. And if you need a third quarterback, I cringe so much in saying this because it's uncomfortable, but the reality is Daniel Jones can be that guy. You look back in 2022 and the Giants had a putrid offensive line, no weapons whatsoever. He only threw the ball 472 times because their defense was so good, keeping them in games. And he finished as the QB9, Hutchison. I mean, 709 rushing yards. And now he has a top five offensive line in football. He's got all these weapons that we just talked about. And he's a lot more seasoned. I mean, it's not crazy to say that Daniel Jones can actually be useful in fantasy.
The only problem is that if he's struggling, they're going to flip it to Anthony Richardson. I feel like this is a competition where if Daniel Jones really starts to struggle, they're going to give Anthony Richardson one more chance.
Let's move on over to the news about the Brian Robinson trade. Now, we don't know where he's headed. We don't know if he's heading anywhere, if there's going to be any takers. I do see some potential fits, however. Houston with Joe Mixon, who knows how long he's going to be out, maybe indefinitely. He could end up in Chicago because all they've got is DeAndre Swift and then some backups. Dallas would be a great fit. I mean, right now they're looking at Javonte Williams starting. I'm not sure if he has any juice left in the tank. First of all, do you think he gets traded? If he does, where is he going? And how does this affect the stock of the quote-unquote backups there in Washington?
obviously, when it comes to answering the question, does he get traded? I don't know. I mean, you know, we can never know what's going on in the Washington Commanders room. But this, I would say this, these rumors do seem legit. JCM, and when you look at Chris Rodriguez, you look at Austin Eckler, these guys have been flashing in camp. I mean, especially Chris, a lot of people talk about JCM in the preseason. When you look at Chris Rodriguez, what he did, he had some great plays as well. I don't know if you saw them, Bobby, but he had some great runs. He was really, really productive with the touches he got, and he was able to have some explosive plays. And he's someone that, while JCM's gotten all the hype, you look at when you look at Chris Rodriguez in the camp as well, he has gotten some great reports from the coaching staff as well. I think this is just a situation where, hey, we like Brian Robinson, but if these guys are giving us a lot of confidence in what they could do, and we can run this backfield without Brian Robinson, let's get some value from Robinson right now while he's not on a big time contract. He's on a rookie deal for one more year. We could probably get a solid pick for him.
There's a lot of upside in this Commanders backfield. I don't know who it's going to be. I have a very strong guess in my opinion, which is why I'm not going to give too much insight. It is my number one sleeper, so hold on for that. All right, y'all. But the one thing that I do know is that Brian Robinson is not going to be cut. You don't cut a productive running back on a rookie contract. What is he, like almost $3 million? They're not cutting him, all right? If they trade him, yeah, that opens up a lot of carries for everyone. If they don't, I think it's going to be a really messy backfield. I do think there's going to be some takers out there. There's some rough backfields. One sleeper I like is the San Francisco 49ers. They've got Christian McCaffrey and nobody else is healthy. They like to have several running backs, and he would be a strong backup there. In fact, I think Brian Robinson's stock might go up if he goes to San Francisco, just because if CMC does get hurt, the ceiling is the moon for Brian Robinson in that offense.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at McCaffrey's injury history. We've seen plenty of injuries over his career. This is a team that can win games. And if you're looking at Brian Robinson as the lead back of this team, you're looking at some really good fantasy football value.
Let's talk about the Dolphins. Achan with his calf injury. That really scares me because we know what happened with Christian McCaffrey last year, and it was not pretty. Now they're saying he's got a chance to be back by week one. I don't know if I'm buying it. We've heard this coach talk all the time, like, oh yeah, he's going to be fine. And then he's out 8 weeks or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Are you buying him in the late first round? Are you waiting till the second? I'm not touching him with the 10-foot pole. And he was a guy I was super high on last year, but I just can't do it. At the first, second round, I'm not taking any chances with a guy who's nursing an injury.
Yeah, so I'll just say this. I got invited by Howard Bender to the Independence Day Invitational draft on July 4th. We did a draft. I have Devon Achane on that team, and I'll just say I'm incredibly worried. Like, this is not good for fantasy football. You know, when you look at Devon Achane as a player, he is incredibly, not just dependent, but it's his calling card. He is able to make some huge plays downfield, not only in the running game, but the receiving game too. When you have a calf injury like this, this soft tissue injury, that just kills your explosive ability, especially in the calf muscles, where that is a lot of quick cuts. That is a lot of speed that you're losing because of that calf injury. If he were able to try to play through this, not only am I really afraid of a re-injury if he tries to make a cut and just hurts himself, but you're also afraid of his efficiency on the field when he's playing through it. Is he actually going to be the real Devon Achane that we want to see? Because if he's not, if he's a Devon Achane without an explosive ability or without a big play ability, you're not looking at a good running back for fantasy football besides a player who just has some gross volume attached to him. I think he'll probably miss some games this year, unfortunately. I think that's just how it is. We've seen that in his career, and this calf injury is really concerning. So looking at this Dolphins backfield, you got to be taking your shots at Jalen Wright and Ollie Gordon. My personal favorite would be Gordon because he's shown out in this preseason so far. I loved him as a prospect. His 2023 season was simply unbelievable. He was looking to be the RB1 in the class. And then 2024, that team fell apart.
So it's really interesting that you say that because a lot of folks are on Jalen Wright saying, that's the dude. He's number two on the depth chart. Yeah, kind of. What did he do last year? What's he doing this preseason? And then the guy that you're mentioning, his name is Ollie Gordon. All right. Right now, his ADP is ADP 68 for running backs. That's way too low. This is a guy who should be owned in every single league at this point. And as we're starting to think about week one coming up here pretty soon, it's crazy to say, but my lineup may have a Daniel Jones and an Ollie Gordon in it to save a lot of value so I can load up on those studs. Let's move up northeast just a little bit to Jacksonville, where we've got Tank Bigsby. Got the start for the Jags. I mean, what do you think? Is he going to hold down the fort there? Or is it going to be ATN getting the start? Are they going to split the backfield? Are you touching any of these guys in the Jags backfield?
The more you look at it, the more it feels like it's going to be a split. I mean, when you look at the first preseason game, it was ATN getting the start. Etienne had the starting role in the beginning, and then you look at Tanks Bigsby last week getting the start. I wouldn't be surprised if week three, if we see Bashaul Tuten get the start with the starting team. He's flashed a lot in the training camp, but this is something definitely to monitor, keep an eye on. But the more you look at this backfield, it just, it feels like it's going to be a gross split, and a lot of guys are going to get opportunities. However, this presents a huge opportunity, because if one of them were to start severely outplaying the other two, they're going to get more touches. This is a team that needs to win. This is a team that wants to win games now. You know, you got Trevor Lawrence, you have Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, and obviously you have some holes in that defense, but they've added some players in the offseason. This is a team that really wants to try to win.
In redraft leagues, I typically like to stay away from the backfield splits, but Bigsby's going late enough in the draft, Etienne's going late enough in the draft, that I don't mind grabbing either of them, because it's like you say, how many times have we seen this narrative? Oh, it's going to be a backfield split, stay away from them. And then one of them, like you say, takes the bull by its horns, and they're the start of the rest of the season. They crush it. This is a very capable offense. They've got Liam Cohen coming on in, and he's going to change the entire concept of that offense. We know what he did down in Tampa with Bucky Irving, and it could go crazy here in Jacksonville. I don't mind getting some shares of either, especially an underdog when you're going for upside. One of these guys could be a league winner. Who it's going to be? I don't know. Get some shares of all of them. But when you do draft, don't get several of them on the same team. You want to draft as though you're right. You want to draft as though, okay, I'm calling it. Tank Bigsby is going to be the guy who's the starter the rest of the season. And then you leave the others out of it, because you need to be right on all of these things to make the big bucks. Last thing that I want to mention on is Matthew Stafford is back at practice, but he's dealing with that back injury. Does this concern you about drafting Puka in the late first? Does it concern you about grabbing Davante Adams in the third, who wants to look like a big steal? I'm super uncomfortable about taking either of them, Hutchinson.
To be honest, now that Stafford's back at practice, I'm not that worried. When you look at before he was practicing, it was starting to worry me, because we're starting to get really close to the season. He's still not practicing.
Yeah.
But when you look at Stafford, who he is as a player, he's a Superman. He's willing to play through injuries. He can play elite football through injuries. He's done it his whole career. And when you look at his, you know, his relationship with this offense, it's really, really good. So obviously you have to monitor the back injury. If he were to re-injure himself, that would be really poor for fantasy football. Obviously, we don't want to see Jimmy Garoppolo starting for our Puka Nacua and Davante Adams shares. But I overall am not concerned. I'm willing to draft Puka Nacua with one of the last picks in the first round and draft Davante Adams as a strong wide receiver too.
Yeah, so we've been in a lot of agreement so far. I got to push back on this one a little bit, though, because I'm just too scared. I'm just too scared to waste a first-round pick on Puka, because what it comes down to is Peyton Manning, absolute bulldog. Phillip Rivers, absolute bulldog. When Phillip Rivers got that shoulder injury and he couldn't throw the ball downfield, he was just checking down every play. I mean, you remember Peyton Manning. He had to be carried by that defense to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
These are two superstars, maybe both Hall of Famers. It fell apart because they were dealing with a severe injury. Now, I'm worried that if he plays through it, it's not going to be good. I'm worried that if he is hurt, a couple weeks pass by and the Rams are really struggling, maybe they shut him down and they turn it on over to Jimmy Garoppolo, at which point I don't want a first-round Puka with Jimmy Garoppolo throwing him passes. I'm sorry, but I can't do it. You can take those shares. I'm not doing it, Hutchinson. So let's put you in the draft seat right now, okay?
Yes.
You're on the clock. You've got 30 seconds to decide who you're picking. You don't have a wide receiver yet, all right? You want running back, and now you're sitting in the third round. You've got Garrett Wilson staring in the face with Justin Fields tossing him the ball. You've got Mike Evans, Davante Adams, and Marvin Harrison. If you're pulling the trigger at wide receiver, which of these four guys are you going with?
I'm going with Marvin Harrison Jr. I'm a believer in the breakout this year. The drumbeat out of camp has been that he has been arguably the MVP on that offense this offseason. He has been a terrific player for them. He's made some great plays. And when you look at Marvin Harrison Jr. as a player, what he can do, I see him as a severe red zone threat. You look at his height, you look at the ability to go up and get it in the red zone. You look at the fact that even with an inconsistent, poor rookie season last year, he nearly scored 10 touchdowns. Like, the dude is going to be a touchdown machine. I expect double digits this year. I expect a breakout season. And I have him ranked highest of this group. I'm taking him.
Once you get past Brian Thomas, Drake London, I don't see anyone behind them that has more upside to be the wide receiver one than Marvin Harrison Jr. It would not shock me whatsoever. So that's my pick as well out of those four. I want to now move on over to the meat of the show, and we're each going to count down our five favorite sleepers. Now, three of them are going to be ADP 110 plus. So these are guys in your standard fantasy football leagues, 10, 12 teams in your league. You're drafting 14, 15 players. So ADP 10th round and beyond. We're also going to give two deep sleepers for those of you who are in underdog drafts, who are in deeper leagues, 14, 16 teams. So two with their ADP average draft position, 160 plus, After we do sleepers, we're going to count down our three favorite breakouts. Now, these are guys being drafted ADP 50 to 109. Now, before we dive into our top sleepers and breakouts, I want to remind y'all it's not too late to get into Best Ball Mania. There's a $15 million prize pool with the winner getting $2 million, runner-up getting $1 million, tons of other huge prizes. If you haven't played on Underdog before, I've got a promo for you, all right? Go to my X account, formerly Twitter, at YourMom'sFFPod, and look at the pinned tweet. Use that link and use my promo code TEAMJORTS. Play for just $5 and get $50 in bonus funds that you can use for two best ball entries for your chance to win $2 million. Use that promo code TEAMJORTS on my pinned tweet at YourMom'sFFPod. Underdog's amazing because you just draft a deep team. You never have to set up lineup, pick up players, anything like that. It starts your best players after the week is over, so there's tons of strategy in this new format. All right, let's move on over to the sleepers. All right, Hutchinson, so you're first. We're going to count down our top five sleepers. Again, three of them, ADP 110 plus. Two of them, deeper sleepers, ADP 160 plus. Who is your number five sleeper this year?
So my number five, we're going to start this show with Luther Burden. Luther Burden is a huge sleeper, in my opinion. When you look at the offseason, how this offseason went, Ben Johnson, before the draft, was talking to some media, and he made it very abundantly clear. He also made this very clear in Detroit with his usage of Amon-Ra St. Brown. The slot role is incredibly important to him. He loves the slot role. He thinks it's a huge piece of the offense, and he made that clear to the media. Then we had some initial practices. DJ Moore, Roma Dudze, as Ben Johnson said, got some boots on the field, got some boots on the grass. We'll see how it goes, right? And then the draft comes along. Ben Johnson very clearly handpicked players in this draft. You saw Colson Love in the first round, and then you see Luther Burden in the second round. When you look at Luther Burden as a player, he is very athletic. He is strong. He is physical. He is all you need from a wide receiver physically. And he really screams slot receiver. He profiles perfectly to be a big slot in the NFL, to be that juicy athletic slot receiver.
He's Deebo Samuel, right?
No, he got some shades of Deebo in his game when you watch him, especially in 2023. 2024, that offense fell apart. They had bad quarterback play. I am not putting that on Luther Burden. But when you look at 2023, he really looks like a Deebo Samuel, man. There's a lot of plays where he's just breaking tackles. He's got the speed to take any run to the house. He can take jet sweeps, screens, handoffs. He can do anything you want. That's huge for fantasy football. He's going in the 40s at wide receiver. I think it's a monster pick. You know, DJ Moore and Roma Dudze are just going so far ahead of him. There's a clear tier gap between these three, and it's Luther Burden way in the back. I just don't think it should be that way. I think he should be drafted a lot higher.
I completely agree. I think he's an impact rookie wide receiver. So there's a guy on Twitter, David Gattieri, at Guru Fantasy World, huge Luther Burden stan, and he posted some stats that I'm going to share here on the podcast, all right? The SEC wide receivers with 30-plus missed tackles, forced and receptions in a single season over the last 5 years. Malik Nabers, Luther Burden. That's it. All right, now let's go on down to this one here really quick. Five-star receivers, which is elite. I mean, there's not many of them. In the SEC to post 1,200-plus yards as a freshman or sophomore, Ja'Marr Chase, Alshon Jeffrey, Mike Evans, Jerry Jeudy, A.J. Brown, and Luther Burden. I mean, this guy is an absolute beast. If you were looking at mock drafts 12, 15 months ago, Luther Burden was by far the number one wide receiver in this class. Everybody knew it. Everyone was thinking he was going to go in the top 10. Now, it didn't end up happening that way. I'm really excited to see how he does in that Ben Johnson offense. I love this pick at number five. All right, I'm going to running back for this one. I already mentioned his name in the podcast. And look, I've just got to say out front, I don't love the player. But a lot of times I'm drafting running backs not based on the player, but based on the situation. And the situation is a great offensive line who loves to run the football, and he just so happens to be the starter. It's Javonte Williams out of Dallas. Now, his ADP is all the way down at running back 35. The starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys, ADP 35. We know he can get it done in the passing game. We know he's a great pass protector. He's going to start unless they go make a move for a Brian Robinson or maybe a Breece Hall, something along those lines. Is it likely to happen? No, I don't think so. I think they're going to roll with this guy. Is he going to start the whole season? I don't know. I don't know if he's talented enough, but we have the starting running back for the Dallas Cowboys going outside the top 100 picks. I don't know, Hutchinson. Sign me up, baby. I'll take him as my RB.
Yeah, I want I want to just throw something at you. I want you to guess, over the last two seasons in Denver's offense that he's played, he's played 17, 16 games in the last two seasons. I want you to guess how many targets he's taken in over those two seasons.
Oh, goodness. In the last two seasons, it's got to be. I mean, he got 50 balls last year. It's got to be 110, 120.
Yeah, 128 targets in the last two seasons. 70 last year, 58 the year prior. The dude is great as a pass blocker in the receiving game, and I'm with you that he could be a really good option in this offense. You got to target these ambiguous situations, man. These ambiguous situations where all the running backs are so suppressed in ADP, one of them could seriously break out and be a huge advantage in fantasy football for you. And this Dallas backfield's one of those backfields where we just don't know who the starter is, and if we find out who the starter is, it could be really good for fantasy football. Let's look at Rico Dowdle last year on this team. You know, there's a bunch of running backs on this team you could have targeted for fantasy. And the second half, Rico Dowdle was a league winner. He was basically an RB1. Like, he was a monster fantasy
football. He ran for 1,000 yards, man.
Yeah.
Rico Dowdle, like, that's who we're talking about here. Javonte Williams could do that.
Yeah, Javonte Williams could do that. Obviously, you look at the knee injury he had a couple of years ago. He's finally fully out of that. New team, complete refresh. Still only 25 years of age. He could absolutely, you know, rush for 1,000 this year and be the lead back on this team.
All right, give me your number four. Who are we rolling with? Number four sleeper.
So my next sleeper, I talked to Luther Byrne before, my next sleeper is going to be Justin Fields, man. I have a really hard time with the lack of hype around Justin Fields at this moment. It's just, he's not talked about at all in fantasy football as someone that could be a true break. I don't know, he is by some, but I feel like his ADP is still too low. He's going at like the QB 11, and I just don't think that's where he's going to finish this year. He's going to have to finish higher. When you look at fantasy points per dropback, obviously in 2022, everyone loved that season. He was the QB 2 in fantasy points per dropback at 0.7 points. But then in 2023 and 2024, people just assumed he, like, sucked. But the reality was he wasn't. 2023, 0.53 fantasy points per dropback. That was QB6 in that season. Yep. And then in 2024, 0.62 points per dropback. That was QB4. When he was starting for the Steelers, he was a legit fantasy ball asset. When you look at fantasy points per game, not just per dropback, last 3 years, each of the last 3 years, he's been a top eight fantasy quarterback in points per game. Like, it's just, it's hard to deny it. When he's on the field, he's a fantasy football point magnet. And you look at what he's looking at for the Jets this year. You have Breece Hall, probably the best running back he's ever played with. Garrett Wilson, arguably the best receiver he's ever played with. If, you know, I miss out on that big five of Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Jalen Daniels, Joe Burrow, and Lamar Jackson, Justin Fields is one of my top targets at quarterback in the late rounds.
Completely agree. And this is the second guest in a row coming on my podcast and saying Justin Fields is the pick. Does it make you want to puke in your mouth a little bit? Yeah, totally get it. His passing is really not ideal. But I want to talk about Tim Tebow. Am I comparing Tim Tebow to Justin Fields? Absolutely not. Tim Tebow was a top 10 fantasy quarterback when he started without being a very good passer. And that's to put it nicely, right? Justin Fields does not have to be a good passer to be a top 10 fantasy football quarterback. If he's a decent passer, he's probably a top 5 fantasy football quarterback. This is a guy who rushed for 1,143 yards in 2022 with 8 touchdowns. He threw 318 passes and was the QB6. I think this is a safe call with a lot of upside as well. It's a great sleeper for Hutchinson. I am going really deep here for my number four. Now, this is a guy that unless you're in an underdog draft or unless you're in a deep league, you don't even need to think about him. His ADP is 283. He's a wide receiver who is starting with a Hall of Fame quarterback. And it's Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson, we didn't get to see anything last year. There was a little bit of hype for him, and then he got hurt, and we just never got to see who Roman Wilson is, right? But he's starting. He put up 70 yards in the first quarter of the preseason game. I don't like to overreact about the preseason, but I will always overreact about a guy who is starting with Aaron Rodgers and has a lot of rapport. Aaron Rodgers has spoke glowingly about Roman Wilson. And who are the last guys that he did that with? Let's see. Alan Lazard, Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson. The guy loves to pick his favorite wide receivers. Now, is he going to be the wide receiver one over DK Metcalf? Absolutely not. No, nobody's saying that. What I'm saying is you might get 6 or 7 touchdowns and 700 yards out of your wide receiver 5, wide receiver 6, and underdog wide receiver 8. And I'm drafting Roman Wilson at the end of pretty much every one of those drafts because I think he's going to be putting up the stats starting with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's so much room in this offense for a wide receiver to step up. You have DK Metcalf and then basically no one else. It's really hard in this receiving room. Obviously, you have the tight end duo of Pat Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith with Arthur Smith. We'll see how that goes. But Roman Wilson absolutely has room in this offense to be, you know, the number two wide receiver, to be a top tier target in this offense, and to have fantasy ball relevance. You know, obviously injuries and a lot held him back in his rookie season. He wasn't able to do much, but he could absolutely step up in his second season. I like this as a deep sleeper. You know, I'll match you with another deep sleeper at wide receiver. He's a rookie this year. I think he's quite an exciting prospect. Jalen Noel for the Houston Texans. This is a player that I absolutely loved coming out of Iowa State. The dude was a monster as a slot receiver. Honestly, when I watched him play, he reminded me of just a juiced Amon-Ra St. Brown. He runs every route to perfection, but he is so fast with the football in his hands, and he's willing to drop a shoulder and be physical. He is a really, really interesting player. And you look at this offense in Houston. You have CJ Stroud, a quarterback. That's always fun. That's fun for fantasy. We like that. He's a good player, good passer. And this backfield and this offensive line, he's not good. This team is going to heavily rely on that passing game to succeed. They have to. They have no choice, right? And you have Nico Collins as your wide receiver one. And then outside of that, Tank Dell's hurt. Stephon Diggs is gone. So you have Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel and Christian Kirk as your other receivers. And while Christian Kirk has been a man in the slot for the last few years, he's older. This is like his fourth team now. He's dealt with some serious injuries. Jalen Noel has a clear opportunity.
Don't you love that they picked both of the wide receivers from Iowa State?
It was pretty fun.
In the second and third round. That's just crazy.
It was pretty fun. It was really, really fun.
Yeah. And it's the same kind of thing that I was saying with Roman Wilson. We are buying wide receivers who have, we don't know anything about them, in a good offense with a good quarterback, because those quarterbacks are going to put up their stats. We see it every year, no matter who they're with. Let me move on over to my third. It's another wide receiver. We're on a run right now. And this is a guy that, again, I think that you're going to be like, what in the world? Are you serious, Bobby? Like, why are you bringing this guy up? He still plays in the league? Yeah, he does. And he's starting. It's Diontae Johnson. And he's starting in an offense where they've got Jerry Jeudy and an injured David Njoku. There's a lot of targets to go around because they're going to be playing catch up. And guess who's great at getting open in the seam? Diontae Johnson. And he has a point to prove. He has been absolutely tearing up camp. This is a guy who's still just 29 years old. And if he gets 80 receptions, 90 receptions this year, I don't think anyone would blink an eye. Oh, yeah, Diontae Johnson's back. Guys, I think that it's going to happen. And this is a guy that you can get in the last round of your underdog drafts. I've got 41% shares of Diontae Johnson. And I guarantee everyone, when I click it, they're like, that guy. Where'd he just disappeared. Wide receiver 98 right now. I'm taking him around 18. I don't care.
Yeah, that range of the draft, you're just taking complete dart throws. You know, it's just kind of, you're taking a guy with any sort of upside. Diontae Johnson has made some waves in camp. He has done a really solid job. One thing I'd add to that is that Joe Flacco is a starting quarterback now.
Right.
And that is going to be good for fantasy football. You know, Joe Flacco, I saw some kind of stat recently. I think someone did a 17-game pace of Joe Flacco. I wish I had the name. Wish I could pull it up right now. But it was his last 17 games, he was like 4,500 plus yards, nearly 40 touchdowns. Like, the dude, he's been an elite quarterback.
He's been so good, man.
He's been so good. He knows how to run an offense. He knows how to get his receivers the football. And I think David Njoku will be great. I think Jerry Jeudy could potentially be awesome for fantasy football with Joe Flacco. But then you look at Diontae Johnson as a player who had a great career in Pittsburgh, but has really, it seemed much more mental than physical. It seemed like he had some relationship problems with the Ravens and his teams, and that he just wasn't really playing very well. But now you get a refresh in Cleveland. I don't know if Cleveland's a place you call a place for a refresh, but, you know, it's at least something. The new team, right? Hopefully he gets an opportunity, but I like that pick late as a sleeper. He could potentially do something there.
Oh,
I'll go with another deep sleeper.
I just looked up the stats. You weren't kidding at all. Joe Flacco in his last 16 starts, 4,700 passing yards, yep. 32 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lanta. That's crazy. Andy has the coolest nickname in sports. Joe Cool. Like, that's
Joe Cool Flacco. Yeah. All right. I'll keep the wide receiver run going here with my deep sleeper. This is a name that people might not like. It's Quentin Johnston. I really like Quentin Johnston for fantasy football this year. You know, he's a first round pick in 2023. Obviously, he comes out as a rookie and really struggles. And I'm going to be honest, I don't know what people were expecting with Quentin Johnston. Like, I was talking about it very heavily for him coming out. This dude is raw. Like, he does not have an advanced route tree. He does not have the football IQ to find holes in the zone. He is a great athlete, but he is not yet a great wide receiver. He just doesn't have that ability. And when you look at his ability downfield, people were talking about, oh, 50-50 ball monster. He's tall. He's athletic. He's going to be down there. People like to stereotype those wide receivers in that way. However, I know I'm talking about him as a sleeper. And I'm really dissing him right now. However, I think he has talent in a lot of other areas of the game. When you look at last year, what he was able to do, he started slow, but he ended up with 711 yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, he was approaching double-digit touchdowns. He was able to break some coverages downfield, able to find some holes downfield and get some big plays. He was able to do a lot in the screen game and the short receiving game with the football in his hands, make some plays after the catch. He's a great athlete. And now looking at this Chargers team this year, obviously they picked Trey Harris. They have some other receiver threats here. But the wide receiver 2 role is still wide open. It's wide open for anybody to take. And Quentin Johnson,
Keenan Allen's old, man. I don't know if Keenan Allen's really that guy anymore.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, it took him so long to get signed. You know, he looked good last year. He looked solid, but it's hard to project him as a player who's going to be a huge impact player getting signed this late in the offseason. The wide receiver 2 role is wide open, and Quentin Johnson, a first-round pick who took a big step forward in year 2, could take another one in year 3 as he continues to develop his game. He could be huge for fantasy purposes this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he's starting to approach 1,000 yards in 2025.
Yeah, it would not surprise me either, especially for his price. I don't mind buying the upside because you can't teach athleticism. You can't. He can become a football player, but you can't teach athleticism. I love that pick. I'm going right back to Aaron Rodgers, baby, and I'm taking his tight end, Jonnu Smith. Now, it's really weird, right? Because I was posting a tweet and I was just thinking, okay, if there's a tight end who jumps from ADP 150 plus into the top 5 performers at the position, like Jonnu Smith did last year, who's it going to be? Jonnu Smith was the tight end 4 last year, folks. And he did this in an offense where he was competing for a lot more targets than he's going to in Pittsburgh. And he had a much worse quarterback than he has with Aaron Rodgers. Folks, Jonnu Smith is going outside the top 150 again. Why? How? I just don't get it. I do not mind whatsoever. If I miss out on the first 4 tight ends, and we're talking obviously about Brock Bowers, Trey McBride. For me, it's George Kittle at number 2 over McBride and Sam Laporta. I'm waiting. This isn't a traditional league. I don't mind grabbing Jonnu Smith there because I think he's going to be rock solid. Again, Arthur Smith went out and got him. He needed his guy.
Yeah, this is really, really tough for fantasy football for me because Pat Freiermuth has been such a productive player in his first few seasons that he's gotten the football.
Yeah.
When you look at they're going to split tight end snaps. Obviously, you're going to see a lot of 12-team personnel because they don't have a ton of receivers. You're going to see both tight ends on the field a lot. But splitting tight end targets, it's going to be really hard. I have both ranked outside the top 12 right now. Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth both in the teens. The only pushback I make is just that Pat Freiermuth is going to eat into his target share. And it's going to be really hard for me to see both being good for fantasy or see Jonnu Smith completely usurp Pat Freiermuth for tight end targets. There's definitely upside because we've seen Arthur Smith love Jonnu Smith. We saw him out target Kyle Pitts, you know, in those first couple of years Kyle Pitts was playing in Atlanta, and yeah. Arthur Smith handpicked him to trade for him and brought him in.
For me, I mean, after you get through Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce, I would even put Evan Engram in that category.
Yeah.
Which of the guys do you think has more of a floor than Jonnu Smith? I mean, Dalton Kincaid, I don't really know about his floor. Colston Loveland, yeah, he's got a lot of upside. I have no idea. Tucker Kraft has a ton of competition in Green Bay. Tyler Warren, for how talented he is, he's got Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, Jonathan Taylor. He's 4th in the pecking chart. I would maybe put Njoku above him, but he's dealing with the injury. I think that once you get past those big 7 tight ends and maybe Evan Engram, that Jonnu, I think, is the safest.
This is
your number 1, by the way. Your number 1 sleeper.
Number 1 sleeper. So, yeah, I'm going to talk about Calvin Ridley, man. Calvin Ridley is being really slept on in fantasy football. I mean, obviously, when you look at Cam Ward, he's struggling in camp a little bit, but he's really learning. He's absorbing like a sponge. Even a lot of the defensive players have talked about Cam Ward as someone that they respect a lot, even though he's thrown some interceptions, even though he's not looking perfect. He's someone that they really, really respect and that he's putting in the work, putting in the effort. And the development of the relationship with Calvin Ridley has been incredible. Those two have a really good connection. All of training camp, all of practice reports, all of preseason has shown us when those two are on the field together, it's really good for fantasy football. Those two are going to have a great connection. And when you look at this offense in general, there's just nobody else besides Calvin Ridley. I mean, the Titans beat reports were hyping up James Proche, a 2026 round pick for the Ravens that has done nothing in his career. Like, What are we doing? This is Calvin Ridley's offense when it comes to the receiving game. And now you have Tajay Spears hurt, another receiving potential threat for the Titans at the running back position. He's going to earn potentially 30% target share this year. And he's going so late in fantasy drafts. He's going like as a wide receiver 3, sometimes a wide receiver 4. He is so worth the price there in like the 7th, 9th round range.
Calvin healthy in 5 seasons. Ridley has been very good in fantasy in 5 seasons. He was the wide receiver 4 at one point. I mean, this is a guy that, for whatever reason, everyone has always overlooked. Back-to-back years with 1,000 yards. It's a good football player, and he's got no competition whatsoever for targets. I mean, who is the wide receiver 2 for Tennessee? Do we even know at this point?
Alec Aminar, maybe?
Yeah, he's starting right now, but I mean, that's not competition at all. I mean, they got Jig at tight end, and he's going tight end 22, 23, I believe. Yeah, Calvin Ridley's going to get peppered with 130 targets if he's healthy.
Oh, for sure.
And we know that he's going to produce. He's a great value. I don't love the upside because of this offense, but he's almost a guarantee, if he stays healthy, to outproduce his wide receiver 30 value. So, Hutchinson, we're going full circle and coming back to the Commanders. If they trade Brian Robinson, who's the guy in that backfield?
That's really hard. I honestly think it's going to end up being a committee. But the guy that I would put the most confidence in is the rookie, JCM, man. Or Bill, as people are calling him Bill. People are calling him Bill now.
I hadn't seen that. Why are they calling him Bill?
I have no idea. I think it's like a nickname for him or something.
Just because it's a lot easier.
I think so. I think people are just calling him Bill.
Whenever there's a brand new name that everyone has to say, I don't feel full confidence saying that name in front of everyone. I'm calling him Bill, JCM, Bill, whatever. I know that JCM's ADP is flying up. I mean, he went from 250 to 130 in a heartbeat. We're talking a matter of 2 weeks. Everyone is drafting him, not me. For me, I'm so sorry, guys. I used to be I'm so excited about this, this hype, super upside, brand new name. Folks, my number one sleeper is Austin Eckler. He's younger than Derrick Henry. He's younger than Aaron Jones. He's younger than Alvin Kamara. He's younger than James Conner. He has less mileage than all of them. And guess what? Last year, he had more yards per touch than any season he's had since 2019. This guy, if he's healthy, and I think that he is, they might just be looking at it in the backfield and saying, hey, we got Austin Eckler. Austin Eckler was the RB2 two of the last 4 years. I get it. It's been a little bit of time since he did it with 12 carries per game. He does not need to be a workhorse to be a top 5 running back. Am I saying he's going to be a top 5 running back? No. If he can be a top 30 running back, he vastly outperforms his ADP. I'm saying that they want to get rid of Brian Robinson because they got this dude in their backfield and he's looking good and he's healthy. And I think that he can be a beast again. I think he can be a top 15 running back. I think this is a potential league winner that you can get for free at the end of your drafts. I'm not waiting till the end of the draft. I'm reaching in round 12. I'm making sure nobody else beats me to the punch. Yeah, 9 out of the 12 guys in my league are going to be laughing at me, but there's going to be one or two who are thinking about doing the same thing, and I'm going to beat them. I want Austin Eckler on every team that I have this year.
I mean, 7 of his 11 fully healthy games last year, he beat 10-plus PPR fantasy points. Like, he was really solid for fantasy last year. And like you said, he was actually very efficient in the running game when he got the football. So I would definitely look at Austin Eckler as a sleeper in fantasy.
I like it. Let's talk about breakouts. That's a perfect transition there.
There you go.
We're moving on to our top 3 breakouts. And these are defined as guys who are going 5th round to about 8th, 9th round. They're not quite sleepers, but they're guys that could take a big step forward into becoming league winners. Mm-hmm. So you go ahead and start us again. Who's your number 3 breakout?
My number 3 breakout is going to be, you know, I'm going to talk about a guy that's been talked about a lot lately. I saw Matthew Berry recently post a tweet where he was like, Ja'Cory Kroski, Merritt, or Trayvon Henderson at the 101. And it was just like, because it's just been the preseason hype has been all about those two guys. And I'm talking about Trayvon Henderson as a breakout because you want to buy into this hype, guys. This is a hype that you have to buy into. I have to make it clear because, you know, I don't want to sound like I was in on him first, guys. He was my RB1B in this class. I was all on Trayvon Henderson. He was my guy coming out of this class. And when he went to New England, I immediately had him ranked as a top 15 running back. He's always been inside my top 15. He's been that guy that's been right there for me. And now everybody is in on him, and it's really frustrating because I want him in my fantasy drafts, and now I'm not going to be able to get him as easily because he was going like the 6th round just a couple weeks ago, and now he's going in like the early 3rd. And I'm totally fine with that price. Happy to take him. I have him ranked basically as an RB1. happy to take him there. But he is a player you have to buy into, guys. When you look at this offense and where it's looking for this year, first talk about him as a receiver. Elite pass blocker, arguably one of the best pass blockers at running back in the league already, and then elite receiving back. Like, that's just simply who he is. He is going to earn the third down role right away over Ramondre Stevenson, no questions asked. And when you look at Josh McDaniels, a lot of people talk about, oh, Drake May's not going to dump off. He just runs the football. Drake May was plenty willing to dump to the running back last year. And when you look at Josh McDaniels, he has 16 years of experience as the offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots over his career. And in almost three quarters of those seasons, a running back on the team has seen 55 plus targets. Like, Trayvon Henderson is basically a lock for 50 plus targets this year. I would argue he's probably going to get towards 70 to 80. That's immediate gold for fantasy football. And then you look at his ability as a runner. He is so explosive, so quick out of the backfield, explodes through the hole in the offensive line. New England upgraded their offensive line significantly last year. And like I said, you have Drake May as a rusher that's going to open up running lanes for the running back position. And when you look at who he's battling with, Ramondre Stevenson, Ramondre Stevenson is fine. After they gave him that contract, he's been really poor with a lot of injuries. He's looked bad on the field. He got straight up benched for Antonio Gibson because he was fumbling the football. This is not a player that's going to hold off Trayvon Henderson for very long. I expect Trayvon Henderson to be the clear lead in this backfield by like week six. And then from then on, it's going to be a monster Trayvon Henderson show. I expect him to be a top 12 running back in fantasy football this year.
This time next year, we will be drafting Trayvon Henderson in the first round.
Oh,
he's
for
the same
sure.
prototype yes. as Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yep.
And I don't think he has much competition. You can say what you want about Ramondre. I don't think that he's much competition. And I do think that this is a tremendous offense on the rise. My number three sleeper is Drake May, and I'll get into that in just a moment. But I want to talk about this a little bit more, right? This is a guy who has league-winning upside. This is exactly what I was looking for. These are the guys going ahead of him in drafts. And I want you to tell me, who are you taking, Trayvon Henderson or James Conner?
Henderson.
Henderson or Chuba Hubbard?
Henderson.
Yeah. Henderson or Kenneth Walker?
Henderson.
Henderson, not even close for me. Alvin Kamara in that Saints offense. I'm taking Henderson. Okay, now this is where it gets interesting. Omarion Hampton
Henderson.
Or Trayvon Henderson?
That's not even close. Henderson.
I'm taking Henderson too. Najee Harris is breathing right down his neck. He's got 1,000 yards in, what, four straight seasons? Okay, Trayvon Henderson or Breece Hall in that crappy Jets offense?
This is where it gets closer. I think I'm still taking Henderson.
I'm taking Henderson.
Yeah.
I won't take him over James Cook. I won't take him over Kyren Williams, but that's where it stops. After those guys are gone, I really don't want to reach that high for him. But if I need a running back and those are the names on the board, I'm taking Trayvon Henderson.
I will take him over both those guys too.
Mama. Yeah. All right. So you're really planting your flag. I love it. Let's stick in that offense. And I'm going with Drake May. Drake May is a guy that you look at him and he's a big dog, right? And you're like, this guy can't be a running back. He is a running quarterback. Got that big body. He's going to get in the end zone five or six times this year, folks. He's also got Stephon Diggs added to his offense. They upgraded the offensive line. Think that they're about to go out and get another wide receiver, maybe an Amari Cooper, maybe a Gabe Davis. But Drake May has elite potential. You talk about Caleb Williams. Could he absolutely blow it up? Yeah, you know who else could? Drake May in Josh McDaniels' offense. I think that this is an absolute lock to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback, and his ADP is quarterback 16. I also think he has the kind of upside to just blow up the league and finish as a top four guy the way that Jaden Daniels did last year. Every year, there's a quarterback that just takes that rise, and this year, I think it's going to be Drake May.
I absolutely love it. I mean, Drake May, when you look at his rushing style, it reminds you of Josh Allen a lot. He's big, he's stocky, and he's not afraid to be physical. He runs, he's not afraid to drop a shoulder, and he's plenty fast. His ability to get some big chunk runs is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he's one of those guys where he's one of those rushing quarterbacks, and I feel like, you know, he's one of those rushing quarterbacks that isn't being talked about enough. You know, we talk about Justin Fields, he's being drafted as a borderline QB1. You talk about all the ties at the top, Jalen Hurts, Jaden Daniels, Josh Allen, and there's some others too, but then you look at Drake May, he's being drafted as a mid quarterback too, and he has plenty of rushing upside just like all those other guys do, and he has more weapons this year in this offense. Plenty of upside with Drake May. I like that pick. So my second breakout that I really want to talk about here is none other than Detroit wide receiver Jameson Williams. When you look at who he is as a player, I think he has much more upside as an NFL asset than Monroe St. Brown. You look at the speed Jameson Williams has, you look at the explosiveness Jameson Williams has, you look at the ability to work downfield and make those kind of plays downfield, you look at the ability after the catch with that speed. These are physical tools, and Monroe St. Brown simply does not have those in the same way that JMO does. And now when you look at JMO as you know, a football player. The route running, the ability with footwork, the ability to know where he needs to be, the football IQ. That's where Amon-Ra St. Brown has beaten him over the last few years, and that's why he's been the clear-cut wide receiver one in that offense. Also, you've Ben Johnson heavily favoring the slot position. We know that about him, and now Ben Johnson's gone. But another thing we saw from Jamison Williams last year was the development in those areas of the game. In the second half of the season, you saw it. Obviously, Jared Goff had to throw the football a lot more because Detroit's defense got so hurt. But you saw the route tree was incredibly advanced, like Amon-Ra St. Brown level, where he was running every single route in the field. He was dropping exactly where he needed to be in the zones. He knew exactly where he needed to be to get the football and to make big plays. He was awesome in that second half. And you look at the Detroit coaching staff right now, all they're talking about on that offense is Jamison Williams is going to take another step forward this year. They were talking about it last year. They're talking about it again this year. So I'm not just going to throw it out there. They're really close in my rankings. I still have Amon-Ra St. Brown slightly ahead because I like him as a touchdown guy. He's been great in the red zone. But I would not be shocked at all if Jamison Williams is leading the team in receiving yards this season. It would not shock me in the slightest. This is a player that could be huge for fantasy football this year.
You know, he's the same mold. There's a reason he was drafted 11th overall. He's the same mold as A.J. Brown. He's the same mold as T. Higgins. And T. Higgins is behind Ja'Marr Chase, and he's still a top 12 wide receiver. Why can't Jamison Williams do it? Now, do I have him that high in my rankings? Right now, he's wide receiver 28 ADP. I've got him all the way up at wide receiver 23. So I think I'm pretty high in Jamison Williams, and I definitely have some shares. But I do think that there's room for him to go up from there. He has a ton of upside. And I just want to talk about this scenario, okay? Now, you never want to bank on injuries. And of course, that's not what I'm doing. But year in and year out, you look at the top 12 wide receivers, 120, 140, 160 targets. They're going to get the ball in their hands. And two or three of them every single year get hurt. If that happens to be Amon-Ra St. Brown, just how high would we be drafting Jamison Williams? If it happened next week, we'd be drafting him as a top 15 wide receiver. And I would wager to say that he's got top 10 upside.
Yeah, I've basically already gotten ranked as a top 15 receiver now. I would probably be drafting him like top 8 for sure. Like he'd be right there.
Are you taking over Tyreek Hill?
Right now, yes. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Now, that's interesting because Tyreek Hill could completely fall off. He's getting older, but I'm still taking Tyreek Hill because I do think he could be a league winner. Could be. Am I banking on it? No. But that upside is glorious, man.
Yeah, I'm lower on Tyreek Hill compared to consensus. I'm really concerned with what we saw last year. Obviously, Miami's offense is going to have to pass. Their secondary is really bad. So you could have the volume upside there for Tyreek Hill, but I'm not happy with what we saw last year. I'm pretty concerned after that.
Now, there is a second-year wide receiver that I am drafting a lot of, and it's Ricky Pearsall, the number one wide receiver for Brock
transition.
Purdy. He's in a great spot, man. Brock Purdy, you know what that offense is going to do. Every year they do it. It doesn't matter who Brock Purdy's passing to. It doesn't matter if it's his wide receiver 4 or wide receiver 5. He's going to put up 4,000 yards, and right now is number one wide receiver with Deebo Samuel gone, Brandon Ayuk not coming back till at least week 6. Is Ricky Pearsall, who is a great separator in himself. This is a guy, if he gets 100 receptions this year, and I know you guys are saying, oh my goodness, that's a hot take. Is it? Who else is going to get the targets in that offense? It's a guy who separates himself and is extremely talented. He's got a lot of upside.
Yeah, man, that injury last year, I mean, not really an injury, just that horrible event last year, really set him back. I mean, you saw Mark Andrews with the car crash. You've seen Brian Robinson when he got shot. Like that kind of traumatizing thing is not just physical, it's also mental. That really sets you back as a football player. When you see players go through traumatic things like that, it hurts them because you just can't play football at the highest level if you're not mentally and physically in shape. And a gunshot incident can really get you. So I'm not surprised that Ricky Pearsall had a down rookie season, but even in the back half of the season, he flashed. He had some really solid plays. And I would not be shocked at all if he's the wide receiver one on this team this year. Obviously, George Kittle, you got him. He's going to get a boatload of targets. Trish McCaffrey's going to get a boatload of targets. But when you look at the health of that offense, like you mentioned, it's not a lot of options to throw the football to because of Juwan Jennings being hurt, because of Brandon Ayuk being hurt. So watch Ricky Pearsall in year 2 have a monster season. He is dealing with an injury himself right now, though. That's a little concerning. He's dealt with it a lot this offseason. I think it was that hamstring that he's been looking at. So keep an eye on that one. Hopefully he's able to play week 1. He's good to go. But if he's good to go and the rest of the receivers aren't, there's some serious upside there. So now I'm going to look at my third and last breakout. I'm going to counter something you said earlier about Sam Laporta. You had him clear cut as your tight end 4. You're feeling great about him. I got Tucker Kraft as my tight end 4. I'm really excited for Kraft this season.
Mama.
Yeah, I recently posted a tweet that said, after Brock Bowers, George Kittle, and Trey McBride, there's no other tight end I want in fantasy football more than Tucker Kraft. It got some heated comments in there, but I mean also some, you know, question, like just genuine questions, but definitely some heated comments. But I'm feeling good about Tucker Kraft this year, man. When you look at his ability is as a yards after catch monster. Last year, among all wide receivers and tight ends with at least 40 targets, he was the leader in yards after catch per reception over anybody except Marvin Mims. So he was like a monster with the football in his hands. He's an absolute demon when he gets the ball in his hands. When you watch him play, like, I would suggest, like, go look at his highlights, go look at his film. The dude is George Kittle. Like, he really has the George Kittle fades in his game when you watch him with the ball in his hands. He's not afraid to throw a stiff arm out there. He's not afraid to bulldoze somebody. He's not afraid to hurdle. He is not afraid to make some huge plays after the catch. And when you look at this offense, obviously you have Matthew Golden, Jaden Reed, Romeo Dubs, Dontayvion Wicks. I'm just going to be brutally honest. These are all complementary wide receivers. These are not guys that demand wide receiver one target shares.
That's
Jaden
true.
Reed, when you look at Matthew Golden in college, never had a 1,000-yard season, and he was competing with Isaiah Bond for targets and wasn't able to step over him. Like, he disappeared in so many games. He is not a wide receiver one. He really is not a guy that can command a true wide receiver one target share. At least that's not what we saw in college, so I highly doubt we're going to see it in the NFL. Then you look at Jaden Reed, and you look at the target volume he got. He wasn't really above Romeo Dubs in targets. He wasn't super high above anyone else in targets. It was just that he was able to make the big plays the most. He is, at least what we've seen so far in his career, he's not a guy that demands a wide receiver one target share. He's a primarily slot player that's going to be on the field, you know, like 60% of the plays. Like, that's just not a guy that screams wide receiver one. Then you look at Dontayvion Wicks, Romeo Dubs. They're guys. They're good, but they're just guys.
Right.
Tucker Kraft is a player that I could see legit taking a step up in year three over all of these receivers and demanding a number one target share. His yards after catch ability, his ability as a tight end to absorb a ton of volume could be huge for fantasy football this year. So I'm looking at him to take a huge step forward. He was already tight end 10 last year in PPR. I got him ranked to tight end 4. I'm so, so hyped to see what he does this year.
Let's not forget, too, that Jordan Love, he was hurt last year, right? He still passed for 25 touchdowns. Year before that, he passed for 32 touchdowns. 4,159 yards. I mean, this is a guy who puts it in the air. He's very much the mold of, I'm not going to say, of course, that he's Brett Favre, but he's the mold of Brett Favre.
Yes, no, 100%.
Absolute gunslinger. Doesn't care if he throws an interception. He is going to put up the yards. He's going to put up the touchdowns. And if I had to ask you, who leads this team in touchdowns? I think pretty much everyone would look at the roster and say, yeah, it's probably Tucker Kraft. I think he's the most likely. I don't think this is a bad call whatsoever. It's higher than I'm comfortable with, especially because I love Sam Laporta. And I get it why you don't as much because, you know, they've got Amon-Ra St. Brown. They've got Jameson Williams, who you love. But for me, Sam Laporta is that guy in the red zone. I think it's very likely. If you look at all the tight ends, I think he's the most likely guy to get 10 touchdowns this year. That's just who he is. He's fantastic in the red zone. He's nursing a little bit of an injury, but a Tucker Kraft, man, he could get himself 10 touchdowns too.
Oh, yeah.
Now you guys are going to notice a pattern. When I go to wide receivers, I'm talking about opportunity, a good quarterback. When I'm talking about running backs, I do not care about the player quite as much. I care about the offense. I care about the surrounding talent, a very good offensive line, one of the best quarterbacks of all time. They're going to put up a ton of touchdowns. And if they do, sometimes it comes through the air with a 5% touchdown percentage. Sometimes it comes on the ground and a guy gets 15, 20 touchdowns. Do I think that he's going to get that? No. Does he have the opportunity to be an absolute league winner? Absolutely, yes. Isaiah Pacheco, the starting running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, is going as the number 60 player on the board. Late fifth, early sixth round. I'm taking him way before then. I'm taking him before Trayvon Henderson. What do you think about that, Hutchinson?
Ooh, that's hot. I don't mind it though, man. You know, I when you look at Isaiah Pacheco, I recently posted about this as well on Twitter. Obviously, it's a 2-game sample size. You have to take it out with a grain of salt. But the Chiefs showed us what they want with Isaiah Pacheco in those 2 games. He was on a pace for a boatload of opportunities. He was getting a 73% snap share. He was on pace for over 1,100 rushing yards, nearly 500 receiving yards. He was getting involved in every aspect of the game, and he was being, you know, a full-time kind of running back. And you look at this offense, the Chiefs' offense should be very productive this year. You have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, arguably best quarterback in the game. And then you have Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, 3 solid receiving options. Like, this offense should be productive. Isaiah Pacheco's got to get red zone opportunities. And if you're giving a boatload of rushing and receiving work, especially considering the depth of this backfield, it's Isaiah Pacheco's backfield.
Yeah.
you're likely looking at a top 20 running back at his floor, and definitely has, you know, top 12 upside.
And he's going RB25, man. It's just wild. He's an RB3 in the best offense in all of football, and he has no competition. I mean, what's his competition? Kareem Hunt? That's nothing. Isaiah Pacheco could easily be a top 10 running back. And I think he's got the upside to be a top 5 guy in this offense.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at if this, obviously, when you said best offense in football, it shocked me a little bit because they haven't been as productive as of late because they've been so, so conservative with how they play football. But when you look at the ability of Patrick Mahomes, this absolutely could be the best offense in football. They have all the upside too.
That's just, fair. I may have been a little too excited.
That was a little, they have been the best offense in football before, but the last couple of years, they've been very conservative on offense, but it's led to a lot of rushing attempts and a lot of, you know, running back volume and a lot of running back fantasy points. So Pacheco, man, that top 10 upside's absolutely there.
I'm going to have some Bengals fans on me on X being like, are you serious, man? You just called the Chiefs a better offense than us? Okay, I get it. Come hit me up at your mom's FF pod. That's all for today's show. Hutchinson, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to come on.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Bobby. Appreciate you.
And a reminder, give Hutchinson a follow on X. He's at HutchinsonB_FF. And also check out his podcast, Coming in Clutch. Don't forget to sign up for Best Ball Mania. The contest is 75% full already and it's filling fast. So go to my X account at Your Mom's FF Pod and use the link in that pinned tweet with my code TEAMJORTS. Play for just $5 and get $50 in bonus funds. Also, subscribe and review so you can catch us on Thursday for an episode with big underdog winner Jimmy Clifton to see how we draft a zero RB build together in Best Ball Mania. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football.